The Old Testament reading today, which is the sermon text, is taken from Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, the first through the beginning of the third verse, and then the 6th through the 15th verses. Again, listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me in the 10th year that Zedekiah was king of Judah, which was also the 18th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia. At that time, the army of the king of Babylonia was attacking Jerusalem, and I was locked up in the courtyard of the royal palace. King Zedekiah had imprisoned me there and had accused me of announcing that the Lord had said, "I am going to let the king of Babylonia capture this city." The Lord told me that Hanamel, my uncle Shomel's son, would come to me with a request to buy his field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, because I was his nearest relative and had the right to buy it for myself. Then, just as the Lord had said, Hanamel came to me there in the courtyard and asked me to buy the field. So I knew that the Lord had really spoken to me. I bought the field from Hanamel and weighed out the money to him. The price came to 17 pieces of silver. I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed out the money on scales. Then I took both copies of the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the contract and its conditions, and the open copy, and gave them to Baruch, the son of Neriah, and the grandson of Messiah. I gave them to him in the presence of Hanamel and of the witnesses who had signed the deed of purchase and the people who were sitting in the courtyard. Before all of them, I said to Baruch, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, has ordered you to take these deeds, both the sealed deed of purchase and the open copy, and to place them in a clay jar, so that they may be preserved for years to come. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, has said that houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A man named Fred inherited a huge land grant, but the will provided that he could choose either land in Chile or land in Brazil. He chose Brazil. Unhappily, had he chosen Chile, he would have received his inheritance in land on which they had recently discovered uranium, gold, and silver. But he chose Brazil. When he arrived in Brazil, he had to choose between receiving his inheritance in a coffee plantation or land with Brazil nut trees on it. He chose the nut trees, and immediately the bottom fell out of the nut market. But the coffee futures went up $2 a pound. The government took control of the nut farm for back taxes, and Fred was left destitute. Fred pawned his Rolex watch for the money he needed to fly either to New York or Boston. He chose Boston. When the plane for New York taxied up, he noticed that it was a brand new Super Concorde with red carpets. After several hours' delay, the plane for Boston arrived. It was a 1928 twin-engine plane held together with baling wire, and it was filled with cigar smokers and unattended crying babies. Over the mountains, one of the engines fell off, and Fred, frightened by his earlier bad choices and fearing for his life, asked for two parachutes. He jumped. As he fell through the air, he tried to make up his mind which ripcord to pull. He pulled the one on the left, but nothing happened. Then he pulled the one on the right, and it broke off. In desperation, the poor fellow cried out, "Saint Francis, save me!" A great hand from heaven reached down, seized him by the wrist, and left him dangling in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice asked, "Saint Francis Xavier or Saint Francis of Assisi?" No matter what decision Fred made, it seemed to be the wrong one. How are we supposed to know if what we want to do is God's will or just our own special desire? For Jeremiah in today's passage, it was easy. The Lord told him something, and then it happened just the way the Lord had said, and then he was certain that it was God's will. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be great if God would tell us in advance what was going to happen, and then when it happened, we would know that it was God's will? But we don't ordinarily get that kind of heads up about what's going to happen in life. We all face struggles. I'm struggling with whether or not to pursue a Doctor of Ministry degree. I have to get references and approval by the General Presbyter. Is God telling me to seek this degree, or do I just want the recognition? You see, it's a difficult decision for me. 3 years or more of intensive study, application in the field, and substantial monetary commitment. So I have to do the same thing that anyone else has to do when trying to determine whether this is God's will or my own. I have to pray. I have to seek out the advice of others who can see my abilities and potential more clearly than I can myself. I have to ask myself the hard questions, like, what am I going to do with this degree if I get it? And what happens if I go for this degree and 3 years later I find out it isn't God's will? In 2003, after losing an $11 million lawsuit, Big Idea Productions Incorporated, creator of VeggieTales, announced that it had filed for bankruptcy and sold its copyrights to Classic Media, LLC. To call this last year difficult is an understatement, said Big Idea founder and CEO Phil Vischer. In the midst of the VeggieTales success, including the release in November of 2002 of the motion picture Jonah, a VeggieTales movie, we made several key strategic errors that led us to this point. Fisher told Christian Retailing magazine, "We got ourselves upside down financially. When everything was working wonderfully, when things were going so well, I thought that God was wanting us to expand, and we grew like crazy. Now I think it was more me having all these great ideas in my head and being so excited that I wanted to do them all at once." Puzzling out what is God's will is not an easy road. Yet we do it every day. Do I want to go out and work in the yard in the cool of the morning, or do I need to do the housework? Do I need that extra cookie, or can I get along just fine without it? Should I play golf this weekend or straighten up the garage? Do I want to play hooky from church and watch the Texans, or should I record the Texans game and go to church? You get the idea. You've answered some of these questions. These kind of questions we can find the answer to ourselves. Yet there are other questions we have to answer in life. Do I really want to spend the rest of my life with this person? Do I take the new job or keep the one I already have? My family lives on one side of the country, and my spouse's family lives on the other side of the country. Who do we go see? I have a great-grandchild I've never seen in person. Should I fly out to visit him or wait on his parents to bring him here? Should I invite the neighbors to church or mind my own business? These are questions that can be really hard. It requires prayer to find the answer to them. You may need to consult your spouse or a close friend or Pastor Paul or another person of faith. Ask yourself what God would have you do. After his ordination in 1969, author and pastor Philip Johnson received a call to serve one large church and 10 smaller churches on the northern coast of Newfoundland, Canada. On the first day of his new circuit ministry, Johnson learned that in order to get to the smallest of the churches, he would have to travel 40 miles by snowmobile to get to the tiny village. The first Sunday, Johnson arrived. Only one person had shown up for worship, a fisherman who had traveled 20 miles to get there. Johnson initially thought about just saying a prayer and calling it a day. But then he realized that together, he and the fisherman had already logged 60 miles of travel and had 60 more miles to return home. With that in mind, Johnson decided to conduct the whole service as if there were a few hundred worshipers. They did it all. They did the hymns, the readings, the prayers, the sermon, the Lord's Supper, and the benediction. It was during the sermon that Johnson wondered why he had bothered. The fisherman never looked up. But when Johnson greeted the fisherman at the door and thanked him for coming, Johnson received a pleasant surprise. The fisherman said, "Reverend, I've been thinking about becoming a Christian for about 30-odd years, and today is the day." Was it worth it for Pastor Johnson to make that 40-mile trip on the snowmobile that Sunday? Was it worth it for the fisherman to make the 20-mile trip to church that Sunday? Jesus said, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You never know how God's answer to your questions will come out. You have to trust God. God may shut one door and open another. But you have to be willing to trust God's decisions. You never know the impact that following God's answer to your questions will have on you. You never know the impact that following God's questions will have on someone else. You never know how God will use his answer to your question to change someone's life. But you have to follow God's answer, believing that if it is God's will, he will answer and open a new path. Pastor Johnson made that long trip for what he thought was next to nothing. The fisherman was called by the Spirit to attend church that day. The pastor's willingness to do the entire service for one man, that made an impact. What if Johnson had questioned God's answer to his question about the need of going 40 miles on snowmobile to church that Sunday? What if the fisherman questioned whether he needed to take off from fishing? But it was God's will for them to hold that service that day. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we pray that you shall reveal your will for our lives. Help us to live according to your will and not our own wants. Inspire us to help all seeking answers to hard questions. In Jesus' name and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we ask that your will be done, O Lord. Amen.